Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 176, where do I start? A great week for the national team with two wins, Cristiano Ronaldo setting a record, and also a little bit of deja vu. He, of course, scores the winning goal, and it was like old times, the good old times. Portugal off to a great start in Europe. Under 21, unfortunately, not off to a great start in terms of what happened in their first match. But I have a prediction that it could turn out to be a very good thing for them, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We'll have Saudi Arabia, a lot of interest in Saudi Arabia and Portuguese players, and not just players, but managers. Obviously, you know, Saudi Arabia pouring a lot of money into European football. They want to become a very, very big league, and they're going to spend their way to do that. I've got some thoughts on that. Is it smart for a Ruben Neves to go to Saudi Arabia? There's been rumors of Bernardo Silva. I'll talk about that as well. We know the Liga draw schedule. We, of course, will have the Big Three report, the Braga report, talk a little bit about player abroad. And then we're going to end this episode. And by the way, it will only be a one-part episode instead of two. I am on the road again, very busy these days, traveling and flying. And as a result, I've not had the opportunity this week and probably next week as well. I'll be recording this from a hotel room, which doesn't provide the greatest environment, and I know there's a few of you that are very picky about the audio quality, especially on YouTube, but unfortunately, I'm afoot these days. I'm out and about, and in order for me to do this, this is what I got to do, so I ask for your patience as I record here episode 176, and as always, thank you for listening. But let's get started off, first off, talking about the Seleção. Four matches under Roberto Martinez, all of them wins. Portugal, 14 goals, none conceded. First place in Group J, ahead of second place Slovakia, who they happen to play next on September the 8th. Portugal wins that. They'll pretty much be in control to win the group, even though there's about five matches left after that match against Slovakia in September. But Portugal, again, with the top two in the group qualifying, and Portugal already with a big advantage against the third place teams, Portugal is in pretty good control. Again, Cristiano, congratulations. Yet another record. He also scored the winning goal. I know a lot of people want to get past Cristiano and want to get past some of the veterans that are still playing with the team. But look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And at the end of the day, we need a Cristiano for another win. Whether you want him to be a part of the team or not, you got to give him credit. At the end of the day, like he did so many times before, he wins this game against Iceland. A lot of credit to Bruno Fernandes for his terrific performance in the Luge against Bosnia with his goals. And again, Portugal is what we always wanted from Portugal was to score goals, to win comfortably. And I think right now with 14 goals scored and none conceded, everything is going great. Roberto Martinez, as a manager, when you include Belgium, has never lost a Euro qualifier match. He's now undefeated in his four matches here for Portugal. And I think if you're the federation, even though I know some people really weren't a big fan of his hiring, and I won't say I was necessarily the happiest either, based on results, and again, this is a results business, we all have to agree that things are going very well with Portugal. So as a result, they're doing well. Now, there was some controversy in the first game. Otávio in the Luge came in as a sub in the second half and was booed by the fans. That frustrated a lot of people in the federation, and Martinez didn't understand, because when you play for Portugal, you're playing for the country, not the club. But at the end of the day, despite the efforts, I mean, we already saw this happening with João Mário when he was at Alvalade. Fans are going to be fans. And, the question I have is, was it all Benfica fans in the Estádio da Luz watching this match? I mean, wouldn't there have been Sporting fans there or Porto fans? Or do fans, we know how passionate fans are. Was it just all Benfica fans and that's why they booed? I don't know. Maybe that's not the greatest way for me to talk about this. But at the end of the day, a Porto player came out as a substitute in the Luz and he got booed. And that really has upset a lot of people. I don't ever foresee those problems changing. I think it's going to happen again and again. And no matter what happens, people will bring their club colors to the national team match, and that's not going to really change anything. But that was a bit of a controversy. I did get the lineup right for the match against Bosnia. Well, the only thing I actually got wrong is I thought that Brutus Pep was going to be in the 11, and he didn't. It was Danilo. I did say that João Felix would start if Gonçalo Ramos would have been injured, which the day I dropped this episode last week, it was announced that Gonçalo Ramos was out because he was injured. So my predictions with João Felix came through. So I did pretty good, 10 out of 11 predicting the lineup. I think it worked out pretty well. And of course, we all know about Cristiano. First off, number one, the security at the stadium in the Luz. We saw a fan on the pitch. Managed to go see Cristiano, managed to hug him with the Portuguese flag. As much as a lot of people in the stadium like that, there's also a lot of people that are concerned about how easily anybody could jump on the pitch and heaven forbid something goes wrong. But that at the end of the day, though, Portugal won, and we saw Speed, who's, again, a bit of a celebrity through social media and the things that he's involved with. Get a lot of attention. Meeting Rui Costa and thinking Rui Costa was the actual president of Portugal. He obviously finally got to meet Cristiano, and obviously his antics and the way he did things gets a lot of attention. But the win against Bosnia was a good win. The win against Iceland, although it hurt a little bit, thanks to Cristiano, they won. And of course, Cristiano is the first male player to get 200 caps, 200 internationals, and he continues to set records. He says that he doesn't go after records. Records come after him. Well, whatever that is and whatever part of that is true, at the end of the day, he continues to set records. And I think if you're Portuguese, you've got to be pretty happy with the results. So it was a good week. It was a good week for the national team. And now, again, players go on vacation. They'll return to their clubs in about a month. And then we'll be doing the national team break all over again once we get to September. One other thing, Bruno Fernandes. I think he's been playing really well ever since the Turkey playoff match. He's been one of Portugal's best players, whereas before that, I thought he tended to disappear. I want to give credit where it's deserved, and then I want to give criticism where it's deserved. But with Bruno lately, it's been nothing but positive. He is the first player, from what I've read, if I heard correctly, he's played in 70 matches in 22-23. So we're going back to last summer. 70 matches and more than 6,000 minutes between United and Portugal. Look, he's a young guy. I'm not going to really stress out over the fact that he played a lot of minutes. He gets paid a lot of money. He's one of the best players in the world, no doubt. But Bruno Fernandes has been an absolute big-time player for Portugal and Manchester United, and for that we are very happy. What wasn't good with Portugal was the surprising under-21 group opener loss to Georgia in the under-21 Euro. That is the only title that Portugal youth have not won, the under-21 trophy. And, you know, I don't know how the hell they lost to Georgia. 2-0. Let's not forget Georgia's playing at home. And for all we know, they might have a good generation of players that are doing very well. But at the end of the day, a disappointing loss. But you know something? If you're going to lose in the championship, you might as well lose in the very first match. They play Holland, of course, on Saturday, the day after I dropped this episode. And still plenty of opportunity for them to turn it around, since in this other group match between Holland and Belgium, they played to a 0-0 draw. So there's still much alive in this. And who knows, maybe Portugal, you know, I know they were missing Fabio Vieira, who's out with injury. Maybe this is the type of shock that they need to kind of wake them up. I mean, we saw, what was it, Saudi Arabia upset Argentina in the World Cup in the first match. Maybe that's not a great example, but losing the first match doesn't eliminate you. And maybe it'll put the focus, you know, Rui Jorge on the players to get a little bit better in these next two matches and not go in so complacent. But that was a bit of a disappointment. Saudi Arabia continues to be the big news, obviously, through Europe. And when we talk about Portuguese players, a report that Ruben Neves, something like 50 million euros, is going to be going to Saudi Arabia to play for one of their clubs. Mixed results from the fans. One, obviously people realize that when there's a chance that you're going to make, and I haven't seen the number, but I think somebody said 40 to 50 million in salary. As I've told you before many times on this podcast, and I will continue to repeat it, A man's got to do what he's got to do for his family. That's just what it really is at the end of the day. And that type of money, to make that 2 or 3 years in Saudi Arabia, changes your family in the most positive way forever. And certainly it's a lot more money than you would be making if you stayed in the Premier League. There's been some rumors that he might be still going on loan to Newcastle because they own the same club that he's supposed to be going to in Saudi Arabia. But several reports on Thursday afternoon rubbish that, so we'll see. Obviously, the other big rumor has been Bernardo Silva, and will Bernardo Silva also be going to Saudi Arabia? Some reports say that he's getting close to a deal. Some people think it's a bad idea because he still has the opportunity maybe in the future to compete for the Ballon d'Or, but I don't think that's going to happen when you have a certain other player on City playing up front that scores more than 50 goals this season. So is it a good decision for Ruben Neves and Bernardo Silva in the peak of their careers to be going to a country where the competitiveness of football is probably, with all due respect to Saudi Arabia, maybe second division in Portugal or third division? Probably it's not good for them, although Roberto Martinez has come out and said that that would not affect his decisions, especially with Ruben Neves. But at the end of the day, let's obviously hasn't affected the decision with Cristiano. Look what Cristiano did. But at the end of the day, there are those that wonder if that's what he should be doing at this point. And again, a life of a footballer is not like if you're an accountant, if you're a doctor, if you're a construction worker, if you work in an office, if you own a restaurant. You could do that for 40 to 50 years of your life. But when it comes to being a footballer, you probably have a peak of maybe 7 to 8 good years when you might be able to make some really good money. And you got to take care of your number one, which is, of course, you and your family. So we'll see what happens, but there are rumors of Bernardo Silva. Obviously, we've also heard rumors of Luis Castro, who's currently managing in Brazil with Botafogo. He has been rumored to possibly going to manage Cristiano Ronaldo's team. Marco Silva has also been in the news. And again, before I press record on this episode, this is where I'm getting the information. It could change quickly every day. We know about Conceição has also been linked with Saudi Arabia, but apparently, you know, he's very interested in just staying in Europe. But then there was another report the other day that said that he might be considering it. So again, only three. Look, again, when you listen to this podcast, you're also going to learn. It's too bad you can't get school credit for this, because I always tell you, only three people know what's going on with the player. It's not the media. It's certainly not me or you. It's the player and his agent and the club. Those three people, player, agent, and the club. They are the only ones that really, really, really know the truth. And they are the only ones that could say which rumors are true, where are there discussions and things of that nature. So we'll see whether or not any of this thing will happen. Jorge Jesus is also linked to Saudi Arabia to manage the national team, anywhere from making 10 to 14 million a year. I've told you my feelings on JJ. I think he still has it. You know, if we were going to go on somebody being too old to manage, there's other managers around the world that are a little bit too old and still have success. I think when you're a manager, what's more important is how smart you are and not necessarily how old you are. But JJ going, he said he wants to go to a World Cup, and an opportunity might be presenting himself. Also, and not necessarily Saudi Arabia, but big loss for Braga if this happens. Luri Medeiros, he had something like 10 goals last season and 6 assists for Braga in the Liga. Looks like he may be joining a club in Dubai. Again, a lot of that Middle East money being thrown, and obviously the type of money that Luri Medeiros, which I don't have as I'm pressing record on this, but the type of money that he's going to probably make is probably what he would make maybe in 6 to 7 years if he was playing in Portugal for Braga. And one other item about Saudi Arabia that really benefits Portugal, besides the fact that a lot of people are making money, and that is that apparently Saudi Arabia has pulled out of hosting the 2030 World Cup, and that is one less competitor, which enables the Portugal-Morocco-Spain bid for 2030 to continue to stay strong, and apparently is the front runner to win that bid. And we'll see what happens with that. So a lot of news with Saudi Arabia. We'll see what happens. We also saw the Liga announce the scheduled draw. We don't know the time and the location yet. It's been in Porto the last few years. I wonder if they're going to move it this time to Lisboa. But that's set for July the 5th, which is a Wednesday in case you're keeping count. And 2 days before that, on Monday, July the 3rd. They're going to have the preliminary draw for the Taça da Liga, the League Cup. This is, from what I understand, the last year when they have all these qualifying matches and the big groups. I think next year it only goes to the top six. But this year, they're going to continue to do what they've been doing the last few years. And the draw for the first two rounds of that is scheduled for 2 days before on Monday, July the 3rd. And again, a lot of time to talk about that as we get closer. Best 11, as I press record on this, not really a surprise. Diego Costa was voted by managers best goalkeeper. In the back, you had really three central defenders and a back. But that's obviously the way it was voted. They're not just going to pick two center backs and two left backs or right backs. They're going to pick who they consider to be the four best defenders. But you had Antonio Silva, Portus Pep, Benfica's Otamendi, and of course another Benfica player, Grimaldo. One midfielder, they still have to finish, so I'll finish announcing that next week. Otavio of Porto was the first midfielder that was announced as the best 11. So far, the best 11, as voted by Liga managers, has been dominated by Porto and Benfica. Vitória Guimarães has discovered that their second preliminary round opponent for the Europa Conference League, first leg July 27th, second leg August the 3rd, will be against Slovenia's NK Celje. No Portuguese team in this very new competition, which is about 2 years old, has ever qualified for the groups. And we obviously want that because, as we know, whether you're in the Champions League or Europa Conference League or Europa, the points are all the same for wins, draws. So if you're playing in the groups, that's certainly more chances to get more points. And obviously, as we know with Portugal, these last 2 years, none of the Portuguese clubs have managed to qualify. And I told you why. These clubs that qualify, they sell their best players, their managers leave, and then you have a brand new club, much weaker, going to play in this competition, and they're just never good to qualify. So we'll see what happens with Guimarães. Another story, Marítimo, as you know, got relegated to the second division after losing the playoff, but they actually think they may have a shot at still staying in the first division. Basically, they're saying that Boa Vista owes some money, I believe taxes, and that might get them in trouble and not give them the license to stay in the first division next year. And then Moreirense has a corruption charge against them. So Marítimo is still holding out hope that they may possibly still stay in the first division if one of these clubs doesn't get a license, after they approve the financials to stay in the first division. They'll just go to the next one, which would be Marítimo. Covilha is trying to do the same thing in the second division. There might be a few clubs in the second division that may not be approved by the Liga due to financials. And if that happens, then a club like Covilha is going to stay up in the second division. Interesting that Cova de Piedad and Bissad, as you know, they merged. They were not given a license for the third division. There's something going on there. They want to look into this merger a little bit more. But what is interesting is they're still hoping, and the name, of course, would be Cova de Piedad, to stay in the second division, because much like Covilha, there might be some clubs in the second division that will probably not stay up because they don't meet the licensings, and that might help them stay in the second division. So we'll see what that happens. Reggie Cannon, the American player, basically has accused Boa Vista of not paying salary, and he says he wants to move on. Boa Vista has come out, their president has come out and said, no, we did pay his salary. This is all a lie. This is the same player that said he wanted to be captain for us next year. When this happens, I always find this to be very simple. It's, if you're Reggie Cannon, you got to prove that you weren't paid. Maybe you go to a media you trust and you show them your bank account. Or if you're Boa Vista, you go to a media you trust, Jornal de Noticias or somebody, and you prove that you did pay, show the receipts. But a lot of times, as we know in the Portuguese press, this all really comes down to a lot of finger pointing. And we'll see if it's true. We'll see. Other news we saw, Victor Martins. And again, this is going to be a one-part episode because I'm traveling. So I'm going to continue on here. Victor Martins, formerly a manager of Leixões. He's the new manager at Académico de Viseu. Silas. Remember Silas when he managed Sporting? Used to be a Belenenses player for many years. Also managed B-side. He's the new manager of second division Mafra. Álvaro Pacheco, of course, used to manage Vizela. He is confirmed now as the new manager of Estoril. Santa Clara in the second division, they have a new manager. Vasco Matos has been confirmed. He was the assistant these last few years to Casa Pia, which, as you know, in addition to being promoted last summer, obviously had a very good season in their first in something like 80 years in the first division. History at Rio Ave, Alexandrina, Cruz. They were the only group to put in to run for president, club president of Rio Ave. Her group put in, and they are the only ones. They will run unopposed in the July 1st election. So she will become the first female president of a first division club in Portugal. Congratulations. Other news, I talked about him as one of my better young prospects in Portugal. André Vidigal does not want to stay with Marítimo because they're going to the second division, although that could change. Looks like Fama, Famalicão, might be buying him for about $1 million and bringing him to their team next year. Other news, abroad, we saw Nigeria, Jose Pazeru, qualified Nigeria to the African League of Nations tournament. So it looks like Jose Pazeru is doing a pretty good job with Nigeria. Fernando Santos is not. They beat Germany in a friendly last week 1-0, but then they lost in a Euro qualifier to Moldova 3-2. Already the Polish are not a big fan of Fernando Santos, and looks like Fernando Santos is starting to feel the heat after an incredible loss to Moldova 3-2. And it looks very simple for Fernando Santos. You know, even though he has some pretty decent players there with Poland, he just doesn't have Cristiano Ronaldo to save him as many times as Cristiano scored so many goals to save him and kind of put a band to kind of hide sometimes the weaknesses of Portugal when you have a player like Cristiano scoring late goals. Well, he doesn't have that anymore with Poland. So those are some of the news. Big three report. Obviously, the big story. We'll start off first with Benfica. The big news with Benfica is that it looks like Angel Di Maria might be going to Benfica. And this is a move that I think is very smart for leadership reasons, in the sense that you look at an Otamendi, you look at what Pep did with Porto, you bring him back a player, in his case, a player that could score goals. This is obviously, Benfica, Porto, Sporting, clubs like that will always be in the position to have to sell players. But I think if you're Benfica, you picked up a player who not only has the experience of playing at the big time in Europe, but now he's going to be able to do that for you. And I think Benfica, after having, getting to the quarterfinals last year and almost making it to the semis, I think they realize they just maybe need a little bit more mind muscle in the midfield, somebody who knows how to play at that level. And I think as a result, we're going to see Di Maria help them with that. Other news that we have coming up here, excuse me here while I move a few things around. We also have, of course, Benfica's in talks to get, I've talked about this many episodes ago about, I'm surprised that stadiums in Portugal, that they don't basically, that they don't have naming, they don't have names on the stadium. Sponsorship names, and it looks like Benfica might be getting close to a deal for $100 million over 10 years, so that's about $10 million a year. It's about time. I'm surprised Porto doesn't do that. I'm surprised Sporting doesn't do that. That is easy money in the sports business world, but Benfica could be doing that. And Benfica Stadium, by the way, next May the 24th, 2024, so obviously this would be after the Liga season's over. Taylor Swift is going to be performing in Stadio de Luz as part of her European tour. And if you're not familiar with Taylor Swift, well, obviously you know Taylor Swift, but I'm not sure if you know her economic power that she brings. There's so many places here in America that when Taylor Swift performs in their city, so many hotels are booked, so many restaurants are eaten in the middle of the week, that it actually boosts the economic of that city for one day and gives them a big push. She's apparently, she just brings people into cities, and I think this will be great. It's too bad she's not doing Porto, but this is going to be a big economic thing for them. And, of course, Benfica will make money with the stadium. Gonçalo Guedes looks like he's going to be staying on loan one more year. He is going to miss part of the preseason with injury. And very interesting, Enrico Raju, who was supposed to be last summer one of the great players. The word is with the press is that the reason why he was loaned out to Watford and why he's going to be loaned out again is apparently he had a falling out an issue with Roger Schmidt, and that's why he was loaned out. So, hey, you could be the best prospect in the world, but the one thing you learn about with managers, misters, is that they have the final say. And if you're not complimenting the manager all the time, you're not respecting his decisions, chances are you are going to be loaned out very fast. And I think the decision to loan out Enrico Raju wasn't the greatest, because I don't think he did a great job with Watford, at least what we think he should have done. He's not doing what Jota did at Celtic. And as a result, he's become a bit of a minor disappointment, which makes even a bigger case for him to be loaned out. I thought I read maybe Estoril. It might be a possibility, so we'll find out. Sporting seems to be in the news every day with Swedish player Gorjerks. Jugoviana, if you read the newspapers, it seems like every single day he's going to be traveling to England to try to finalize a deal with Coventry. But you know the story already. Coventry wants 20 million. And Sporting doesn't want to pay that much. And we'll see what happens with that deal. But it's been every day. Pote wants to be the highest paid player on Sporting. Of course, we know Sporting has a strict salary cap. And there was some news this week in the Ozogo. And again, this was in Ozogo, which doesn't tend to be a reliable mouthpiece for Sporting. And that is Shermiti might already be on the market and could be sold for something like 10, 12 million. When I think of Shermiti being sold, I think of what Porto did with Fabio Silva selling him too soon. I'd be surprised if they sold Shermiti. I'd be very, very surprised. But again, I'm not sure if Shermiti signed a new renewal. I can't remember. All the news with Sporting, Rochinha is apparently on his way out, and he might be yet another player, much like Enrico Raju, that might be linked with Estoril. Porto, Sergio Conceição is still the manager. Talk of possibly him going to Saudi Arabia for a salary of 20 million. He was linked with PSG. Then it was declined, saying that it wasn't true. And now, as I press record on this, his name is back into the mix, because although a lot of people thought that they already had a manager lined up, nothing has happened when I press record here. But PSG, we'll see. Otavio, apparently, he's got until July the 15th. He's got a $40 million release clause. Looks like there might be a club that will activate that. Because remember, Porto needs to make money. Diego Costa, of course, could go as high as 60. They need that money to continue to avoid financial fair play regulations. We also saw a gentleman named Lobu, who looks like he's going to run for Porto election. I don't see anybody beating Pinto da Costa, but apparently there is somebody that's going to be running. And again, a lot of times when these are running, they're running because they probably know they're not going to beat Pinto da Costa, but they're trying to set up their name and their brand for in the future when Pinto da Costa maybe decides not to run, and then there'll be an opportunity for someone new to try to win. Steven Eustáquio, the Canadian. Canada's going to be playing in a competition this summer. I think it's the Gold Cup. And looks like Eustáquio, though, having said that, will still be available for Porto in the Super Cup against Benfica. Again, it's going to be either on August the 7th or the 8th. That all depends on what happens with Braga's Champions League date. So we'll find out about that soon enough. And again, short podcast. Let me just end it right here with two items. One, women's national team. The Seleção is already in training. They've got a match on July the 1st against England. And then afterwards, they will head out to the other side of the planet, to New Zealand, to get ready for the World Cup with New Zealand and Australia. So the women are in camp right now getting ready in the Cidade do Futebol. And we'll end it with my favorite team in Portugal. They finally found a manager. He's a gentleman named Fernando Rigo, 51 years old, native of Viana do Castelo. He's got a lot of experience. He's managed the Limianos. He's managed a club called Neves. They stole my last name there. No, I'm just kidding. Melgaçantes, which of course is famous for a stadium they have there that a lot of clubs use. And he also has some experience with Penafiel when Rui Quinta was the manager. So he's been a manager at the lower levels, but he had a lot of success in the past with Limianos. And obviously we know Limianos was the club that got promoted to the fourth tier from Athletico dos Arcos. And they have brought him in with the goal, very simply, the goal is to try to get Arcos de Valdevez, Athletico dos Arcos, next season promoted to the fourth tier. And they brought in, I think, what is a very good manager. He's going to know all the good players that are good for the district. He knows the budget. I think this is a very smart move by my club. So we shall see what happens. Again, a short episode here because, again, I am traveling. And as always, please listen to, if you always ask and you want to support this podcast, please give it a follow and follow it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find it on Podcast Addict. And again, I also put it up on YouTube, the audio. And again, I know some of you are very sensitive with the audio there, but it is available. Obviously, you could also listen to it on PortugueseSoccer.com, and it's available in many different platforms. And if there's one that you want me to put it on, I am working on trying to get it on a few platforms. I'm waiting for some answers, and I'll keep you posted on that. Anyway, folks, that's going to wrap up episode 176 of the weekly PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. As always, it's been a pleasure. And like I always say, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your family. And I'll talk to you next time. Ciao, everybody.